Welcome to America's Jobs Team. At Consultant Connect, we believe the greatest force for change is a job, but it requires amazing, talented economic developers. Each week, we will go deep with America's jobs heroes on their leadership journeys, with the belief that when leaders get stronger, their communities thrive.
Hey everyone, real quick before the show starts, I wanted to remind you about our annual Catalyst University event that's coming up here in Kalamazoo on Thursday, June 20th. It's one of my favorite events of the year. Last year, we had almost 3,000 people in attendance and, you know, Ron, really some impactful speakers coming to town this year.
Yeah, and you know, one of the things that we've really done around Catalyst, so it really started as a local leadership conference. We now have people coming from about 30 different states. Economic developers. So not only are we doing the leadership conference, we're going to hear people like Gretchen Rubin, Vivian Howard, who's my favorite kind of TV chef right now, will be with us, John Acuff, eight other speakers, you know, will be launching my new book at it. So we're excited about that. But we also arrange for all the economic developers to get together as a cohort. We do a hosted dinner for them. If you're involved with our next leadership program or the other leadership programs we have, we ask people to come in a day or so early so that we can pour into you so you can hear from these amazing people, lead and build your leadership capacity. And we'll give you a backstage tour if you want and teach you how to do your own conference if you want. You know, we've helped mentor a couple of different economic development groups that have built out conferences. We also do it for them if you want that as well. But you can go register and look at catalystuniversity.me. That's catalystuniversity.me. I'm telling you, it's one of the most amazing days of the year. You know, our attendees tell us what last year's 98% of them said they were returning the next year. I don't know about you, but I don't get to go to many conferences that 98% of the people say, I'm going to be here next year.
Not to mention summertime in Michigan, Ron. It doesn't get any better than that.
Oh, I forgot that. We can rock that too. It will be life-changing for your career by being with us. So we hope you can come. Beth Dowdy's twice been named executive director of the Roanoke Regional Partnership from 1991 to 99 and then came back in 2008. And you'll hear from her in this interview kind of why and how that happened. She also serves an executive of the Roanoke Outside Foundation, executive director of the Western Virginia Regional Industrial Facility Authority. That's a mouthful. And after a start in advertising, where she's now spent more than 25 years in economic development, she's an amazing leader and somebody who's really invented some new strategies around outdoor economic development. I know you'll enjoy the interview with Beth as much as I did. So give a listen. So Beth, tell me, the first question out of the box is, what is the biggest challenge facing leaders today?
Well, I'm not sure the challenge facing leaders today is any different than the challenge that's always faced leaders, and that is the world is moving fast and things are changing and it's hard to keep up. And not all leaders have a, you know, large army behind them. They have to do a lot of the work, and it takes a commitment to learning and a commitment to change and a commitment to time, you know, to continue to be a good leader. You don't just get to be a leader and your job's done. It's always evolving and it's increasingly challenging and it's just damn hard work.
I completely agree. So from your, let's just say in the last decade or so, what's the difference for you in leading and that kind of knowledge piece that I hear you talking about learning?
Well, the good news about the difference is I think it's easier to learn than it's ever been. I'm a big believer in Twitter, for example, and I'm not a shouter. I'm more of a scouter on Twitter in that if you follow the right accounts, and that means no politics, you can really gather a lot of information and open the doors to new channels and new ways of learning and new things that you may not even have known you needed to learn that way. So technology's really helped it. And you know, just think about how now you can, all the webinars, and it's just so easy to learn now.
Yeah, you don't need a library card anymore to go get an encyclopedia to find out what's going on somewhere around the world. You have all the knowledge of the world in your pocket.
Well, the knowledge comes to you now rather than you having to go find the knowledge.
So as a leader, what's the one characteristic you believe that every leader should possess? And then who's an example of that?
I have always believed that creativity is the characteristic that every leader should possess. It is so underrated. For me, it keeps me motivated and it can push you to be better next time. How can we make it better? How can we continue to engineer? How can we truly commit to a culture of continuous improvement? And that's also related to not having a fear of disruption. You know, disruption can be your friend. The best book I ever read is the biography of Steve Jobs. And he's, of course, you know, a creative leader. And that book really made me realize my affinity for creativity and that I wasn't all that weird. You know, that's frankly the value of a liberal arts education. You know, to be honest, I was an art history major and I've spent, people are always surprised when they find that out because they think I majored in business. But that liberal arts education, that commitment to creativity and critical thinking is beyond numbers or maybe in complement to numbers. I think there are some other characteristics that are important, and fearlessness is one of them. Leaders should be confident in themselves and their vision, and also value the team that you're leading because they're ultimately responsible for making you a leader and keeping you a leader.
Absolutely. You know, when we talk about that creativity, a great book out that's fairly new as we're talking, Dare to Lead by Brené Brown.
Yes.
Is an amazing book. I highly recommend it. But there's a section in there about creativity and the importance of it in being a really a total rounded leader. So
Good.
Glad you brought that up.
Good. I'm glad at least someone agrees with me.
She's a pretty good one to have agree with you. So one of the things that breaks my heart is when we see a leader's career, their leadership journey completely derail. And I have a board chair who I happen to be very, very close with. And a few years ago, he is a great mentor and a teacher. And he pulled me aside and said, all right, you've now reached a point in your career that you have all the credibility in the world. You're doing amazing things, but you have to guard against two things that I see derail leaders' careers. And that's a moral failure and a financial failure. Don't mess around with other people's money and don't mess around with other people. And what are the one or two behaviors or traits that you've seen derail people's career beyond that kind of moral failure or financial failure?
Well, moral and financial failure are good examples of how a career can be derailed. And I think they're very tangible examples. You know, it's easy to give examples to back up that behavior, but I think probably the less recognized behavior or trait are things that aren't as easily explained. Now, burnout isn't a behavior, but I think that the nature of leadership and the intensity and the responsibility, you know, can easily lead to that too. And that's pretty quantifiable. But I think another behavior specifically is thinking that you have all the answers. That's a recipe for failure. Again, going back to the learning thing, you always have to be in the learning mode. I really changed my behavior as I've matured as a person and a leader. And that behavior is giving people room to contribute to the organization, the organizational goals, the organizational direction. I learned so much from my team and particularly the early career folks. I like to think it's a two-way street. They can benefit, you know, from my decades of experience, but I always benefit more by being exposed to new ideas and more importantly, different ways of thinking, different perspectives. You know, that enriches the leadership experience for me. It makes me a better leader, you know, by being a collaborative one. And frankly, I learned that late in my career.
Yeah, no, I think that's a great example. I happened to be with a senior Fortune 50 leader not long ago, and she was talking about her worry that she wouldn't stay relevant in her leadership. And so she got a mentor who was 22 years old, and she meets with that mentor who talks to her about culture and new changes, and they go out and look at things and get that perspective from a young person entering their career. And she said it's made all the difference in her perspective and how she addresses people and how she learns different. And but it takes a lot of courage to do that.
That's a great idea and example. You know, I used to hire people like me, and that was a mistake. And I don't do that anymore. And it's uncomfortable sometimes, but it's really kind of invigorating when you look at it over the long term.
No, I think you're dead on. I love that. So what advice would you give to someone going into a leadership position for the first time?
Well, one, don't be afraid. You know, don't ask permission and don't think you're done. You know, you have to evolve to be an even better leader. And that's what we're talking about today. You know, reading a lot really helps. As I said, I'm a big fan of Twitter. I'm a scouter, not a shouter. But, you know, as a consumer, it's incredibly efficient. And the internet makes learning so incredibly efficient. Yeah, so that's just a hint. But in a bigger sense, always be open to learning new things. Remember, you're a motivator as much as a leader. That maybe is your most important responsibility. But develop the skill of making them think it's their idea.
Yeah, I had a mentor once who said, you know, it's great to be a motivator, but you also have to be a liberator. You have to liberate people, your followers, those that you're leading, to thrive and succeed and take away fear, liberate them from constraints. And that's hard for most leaders because you start worrying, well, what if they run past me in the race? But, you know, that's what you got to understand is that that's what success looks like. That's not something you should fear.
Well, another thing too is that we're always selling. Leaders sell, your team sells. Remember, you're always selling.
Always. And particularly, you know, when you and I came up, you could go 100 miles away and act up and probably never get caught. Today's world with social media, what it is, with video everywhere, you've always got to be on your guard and understanding that your behaviors will affect outcomes, positive and negative. And you got to live your life that way. And that, I think, goes into a lot of the reason we see a lot of leadership burnout.
Right. And related to that is I have this saying that I use, and it's applicable in a lot of different situations. Everything communicates. So your behavior communicates, the way you act communicates, what you say communicates, how you present yourself communicates. And just always remember that everything communicates, not just what you intend to communicate. Communicates, if that makes any sense.
Oh, it does. It's critical. The way you address people, you know, we've all seen that time in our life where somebody that we thought was living their life one way, and then you see them, usually it's a him, you know, address his spouse in a disrespectful way, and you think, whoa,
yeah,
that isn't who I thought that person was, but now I know who they are. And, you know, there's those kind of behaviors every day in our lives, good and bad, that tell the world who we are, and then by extension, who our organization is.
No, that's exactly right. You're tied to your organization. So what you communicate affects the organization, and the context clues are maybe every bit as important as the overt intentional clues.
Absolutely. So one of the questions, and when we built out the podcast, we asked a lot of young economic developers for the questions. And one of them that came from nearly every interview was, how do you know when it's time to change jobs? And so I'm going to ask you, how do you know? And for somebody who's had the same job twice, this is going to be interesting.
Yeah, I'm not sure I'm the best person to answer this question. You know, there are a lot of reasons why I might change jobs, although I haven't really done much job changing and had this job twice. But there's a lesson in that. And the reason I came back to this job was I saw a challenge. I'm a fixer. I know I'm a fixer. I love a challenge. And I've been fortunate. I've been in Roanoke, Virginia for almost 40 years. And sometimes I hear, oh, there's no opportunity in a small size metro, or there's not enough career progression, you know, in a small size metro. I don't buy that line, because you have to make your own opportunity everywhere you go. Someone that I really admire, a mentor, told me early in my career, manage your career, don't let your career manage you. And I've never lost sight of that.
Yeah, I think that is great advice. And, you know, Roanoke is like home to one of my favorite TV shows, you know, The Salvage Dog. You know, so it's, you know, you're like the Waco of the East Coast. And so I got to get there one of these days to see that.
Oh, absolutely.
So what are you most proud of in your career?
Well, there are a lot of things I'm proud of on a professional level. I'm very proud of what we've done in developing outdoor recreation assets and turning it into an economic sector, which then totally changed the community narrative. But what I'm most proud of is very personal to me. And that's that I've had a very rewarding career working full time with no breaks from 2 weeks after I graduated from college. And I raised 4 very successful now adult children. You know, my husband is a sports journalist and he and I have both worked long hours for a long time around raising our kids, but none of them would say they suffered from our career commitments. And in fact, we instilled an amazing work ethic and drive in all of them. We demonstrated, and they've repeated this over and over again, that if you do something you love, you won't work a day in your life. And I kind of look at that as paying it forward.
Yep. That's amazing, amazing thoughts. And so, Beth Dowdy, thanks for joining us. Thanks for everything you do to make not only Roanoke better, but our industry better. And by de facto, making America a better place for jobs, for families, and for future. And so thanks for being here. And thanks for being my friend.
I really appreciate the opportunity. And I just want to say what we do is such rewarding work. And I consider myself privileged to be able to do it.
Awesome. On next week's podcast, you'll hear from Misty Martin, president of the Cherokee Office of Economic Development. Misty has over 25 years experience in economic development, has been featured as one of Georgia's 40 Under 40 and Notable Georgian by Georgia Trend magazine. Tune in next week to hear from one of my favorite economic development leaders, a great friend, and somebody who's had an incredible journey in our industry. We'll see you next week.